If you would turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, as we start yet another Feast of Tabernacles. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. And it says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Occasionally, we've got much to be thankful for. We just sang hymns we had in the opening prayer to be thankful for. In fact, if you want a title, I think we should call this the Thankful Church. Because if we don't realize how thankful we should be, we shouldn't be here. Occasionally in this world, we see displays of thankfulness, but not very often. However, there is one. My wife and I were driving in the western part of the country, and we saw this sign on the wall that talks about the Thankful Village. So we went in, and it was very interesting. During World War I, 700,000 British people died. Soldiers died. You tend to think in war that most of them would die with bullets going through them or shells exploding, but the vast majority actually drowned in the mud. There are only 53 small village communities in this country who suffered no casualties. The places became known as Thankful Villages. Now, Wales has actually got two. Scotland and Ireland have none. There are estimated 16,000 villages across England, which gives some idea of the devastating effect of war. And what was actually terrible was, they felt that by getting all the men from a village together as one group in one company, that they'd know each other, and of course they would be able to encourage them to fight more effectively. But of course the problem was in the First World War, it was over the top, and Germans would mow them down, and then they'd clean up the mess, and then the Germans would come over the top, and the British would mow them down. It was very sensible. It got rid of almost a million people. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But it wiped out the men, all of the men, from one village. So at the end of the war, you had a bunch of women and children and no men. It created havoc. 14 of the English and Welsh villages are considered doubly thankful because they actually lost no service personnel in the Second World War. That's quite incredible. However, just note, this talks about fatalities. The bodies all came back. It doesn't tell you that some of the bodies might have been missing arms and legs or suffering, as we had a very dear friend in the church in the early days who'd suffered being gassed by mustard gas. And he lived a whole life of being completely disabled. So there are a few villages that don't have war memorials to the glorious dead. Hence the name Thankful Villages. There's over 700,000 dead and only a few villages had all their men return. And it's quite interesting because there's some parallels here with us today. Out of around 8 billion people on the earth today, a mere handful have any understand of who they are, why they're here, and where they're going. If you think about that, that's rather crazy, isn't it? If you think of all the things that are going on in the world today, and people really don't understand what's actually happening. Where are they going to end up? A mere handful have been hand-selected by God the Father. John 6:44, of course, is something we quote all the time. And given understanding. Drawn by God. Personally. So before we even get into the subject, you've got to realize if you're here and you're baptized, you personally, you were hand-selected by God the Father. Not even Christ. Hand-selected by God the Father. Does that kind of make the first fruits are rather special? I would say. And we're here for a purpose. We know why we're here. We're here to be trained as rulers and teachers in the world tomorrow. When people get into a bit of a out of line and the voice behind them says, "Excuse me, that's not the way to go. This is the way." That's your voice, our voice. That's what we've been there for. Think about it. Think about the hassle and the trouble and the pain and the suffering. We can stop by just saying, "Whoa." And people suddenly realize this is actually God as a person standing in front of them saying, whoa, not just reading it in a book or having somebody preach to them. Revelation 5:10, we can read that one because it's a very important scripture. Well, they're all very important, aren't they? Revelation 5:10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. As I've said several times recently, what is amazing is the truth is in the Bible, and it's blatantly obvious if you just read it and believe it. It says, we shall reign on earth, not in heaven. Kings rule, priests teach. There's your job. That's your job description. And where are we going? We're going to head for immorality. Immortality. I always get those two mixed up, and it's very embarrassing. We're heading for immortality, eternal life in the family of God. Just think about it. We went to bed last night. We were totally, totally tired out. And we had to sleep for 7 or 8 hours to try and get a bit of strength back. You won't ever need to do that again. You'll still be able to enjoy a steak, but you don't have to have it to keep your body going. We're heading for immortality, eternal life in the family of God. Turn to 1 John 3. As I say, this is in the Bible in 101 English that any older child can understand. It's not hidden in a dark place and in some code. It's very, very obvious. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's pretty clear. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. That's also pretty clear. I mean, you look at the mess the world is in, as we sit here in the nice, comfortable, warm room, learning and going over God's words, people are dying. People are dying in wars. They're dying of famine. They're dying of thirst. They're dying of disease. Or if they're in some parts of the world, in London, they're probably getting a knife stuck in them. And in America, they just drive by and shoot them just for the fun of it. Target practice. We live in a crazy world. In fact, we live in an insane world. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Is that very difficult to understand? It's very plain. And it does not yet appear for we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What does him look like? Read Revelation 1. That's what him looks like. That's what God looks like. Just raw power. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Remember Moses asked to see God? And God hid him in a cleft in the rock. And he said, you can see me when I've gone by. You can see where I've been. You can't look on me. If you look on me, you'll be frazzled. You'll die instantly. We'll see him as he is. That's a promise. It's very plain English. It's not difficult. The only problem is, your brain's got to have a fuse plugged in called the Holy Spirit to understand that and to understand that it actually applies to us. I'm going to read a quote here from Mr. Armstrong, which he made in a sermon, A Mission of the Philadelphia Church Era. It's one of the most powerful quotes you will ever hear from a servant of God. I'll try and put it across as he would, but nobody can do that. If you listen to him doing a World Tomorrow broadcast, if you've ever had to get to speak to a group of people, and you can do it without getting your immortalities and your immoralities mixed up, you know how complicated it can get and how easy it is to make mistakes. You listen to a World Tomorrow broadcast, and he sits there for 28 and a half minutes, and he doesn't breathe. It comes out like a machine gun. And most of it, towards the end, you know, he had no notes. He's blind. In fact, when I was in college back in the 1970s, he was one eye was dead. There was nothing at all. And he had a 30-pound magnifying glass to look at photographs. And yet he still got up and gave some of the sermons that we're still listening to today. But listen to this. Now, the Sardis people knew that Christ would rule 1,000 years. They knew it would be a millennium. They had no idea in the world about what would happen in the millennium. They had no idea what is the purpose of the millennium. And then he quotes Matthew 13, verse 16, where it says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, they hear." He says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." I mean, the whole Bible's full of it. The Pharisees and all that, they'd invite Christ around and slap up a meal, try and get him full of food and trip him up so they could you know, have a go at him. But he sidestepped them the whole time. As we assemble at the Feast of Tabernacles, that's what we're celebrating. And we know what's going to happen in the millennium, and that salvation will be opened then to all who are still alive at that time. But it is not open to everybody right now. And the people living right now will also come up on the last great day. Everybody gets a chance to get into God's kingdom. So he says, their time will come. And here's what he says, and it's very personal. No other church knows that. There are things that you, brethren, are privileged to know. You. God has blessed you with this knowledge and restored this knowledge to you. Gets a bit personal, doesn't it? And think about it. What we know, what we're going to cover this week, the kind of things we're going to be covering. So, back to what I said in the beginning, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. We give thanks when we have food. We give thanks when we have the services. And it should be that our prayers, one of the first things we should be thanking God, is for calling us out of this world and opening our mind. And all he did was just put a little fuse in. Everything's there. Everybody's got the circuit. It's just like you build a house and you've got all the wiring and everything, all the boards and everything. But there's one fuse missing. And that fuse is the Holy Spirit. And if you understand what we're talking about, then you've got the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you couldn't understand. It's that simple. That's why it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let's enjoy the feast. Let's do it with thankfulness, with a thankful heart. And just realize just what a privilege we actually have.